Welcome to the VAT update for July 2016, and in this month's edition we've got four items, the first of which is to look at the effect of Brexit and the impact in VAT, and I've seen some commentaries that this will give an opportunity to the UK government to extend zero rating, but I doubt this is going to happen if the economic forecasts are correct and we go into a recession with reduced tax revenues and therefore a government needing to raise tax, because VAT would then be a likely candidate. The reform of VAT was something that was covered in the Middle East report at chapters 7, 8, 9, and I've included links to that. But in the short term, I can't really see much change for VAT, other than there'll be fewer references to the European Court of Justice and such matters as the interpretation of the European directive. There's a very interesting case, that of ELS, and Education Lecturing Services were seeking to take advantage of an extra statutory concession, BB10/04, relating to supplies of services by an employment bureau. It had a major impact because they were supplying services to colleges of further education, universities and places that were otherwise exempt, and therefore VAT is a very real cost. And in this case, it would be a cost to the supplier if it failed to charge VAT. They could have structured things differently so that they only had to pay VAT on the commission they charged, and therefore they could have acted either as principal or as agent. In the latter, as acting as agent, they would only pay VAT on the commission. But they didn't do this, and they sought to have the application of the concession available to them so that the VAT bill would be reduced. But HMRC decided not to grant them the concession and had never advised them that if they restructured things differently and paid the lecturers themselves as employees instead of as self-employed persons, they could have had a better VAT result. This case is before the Court of Appeal and concerns a dispute really relating to supplies made in 2007-2008. That's some 8 or 9 years ago, and it just illustrates that having a dispute with HMRC can be hugely absorbing of management time. But the decision of the Court of Appeal reaffirms my belief that judicial review is in practice unlikely to succeed, because the Wednesbury principle imposes such a high hurdle that nobody could have acted in the manner in which they did. And HMRC decisions may not be correct, but they're always reasonable, and therefore you can't beat them on the Wednesbury principle. There's another interesting case about mobile phones for the handicapped people, and in this case a mobile phone is a mobile phone, but the mobile phone being sold and trying to get the benefit of zero rating had incorporated into it voice recognition software so that it could be used by those who are visually impaired. And the incorporation of the software meant that the phone was adapted for the use of the disabled, and this meant that it could benefit from zero rating. Of course, the test here is who is buying the phone, and the fact that it can be used by a non-handicapped person is not really a relevant argument, because if a non-handicapped person buys the phone, then it would be standard rated. The benefit of zero rating is only available if a handicapped person acquires the phone, and the first tier tribunal found that the package of a whole, including the incorporation of the specialised software, allowed a handicapped person to use the device differently from the way in which a non-handicapped person would use it, and therefore it could benefit from zero rating. Finally, in a case which may become of historical interest, I'd looked at Life Services Limited, which supplied social welfare services to Gloucester County Council and was in fact regulated them. Now, this company could have been a charity because it was non-profit making, but it didn't have charitable status and it hadn't registered under the necessary statutory provisions. But it was regulated by Gloucester Council, and therefore it was regulated by a state authority. Now, Again, in a case like this, the company was really relying on the European directive rather than the VAT Act, because it was quite clear that the VAT Act had been written in such a way that it gave exemption to charities. But Article 132 of the Principal Directive meant that the definition of who could be exempt in the provision of social services was wider than the VAT Act provided. So the First Tier Tribunal Judge, Charles Hellier, looked at the interpretation of law and concluded in what is a very lengthy judgment at paragraph 98 that the company would be adversely affected if it had to charge VAT, but there was no problem on the principle of fiscal neutrality because the council could have recovered any VAT charged, and as a result he found for the appellants that the welfare services that the company supplied were exempt, and it allowed its appeal. It's an interesting decision and one that's well worth a read if you're interested in statutory interpretation. Thanks very much for listening.